Welcome to Flower Farmer Forum, the podcast where growing and selling cut flowers isn't just a dream, it's a reality. With over 100,000 downloads, this is your go-to spot for everything you need to know about turning blooms into bucks. Whether you're looking for a little bit of extra cash or dreaming of scaling up to a full-fledged flower empire, we've got you covered. I'm your host, Liz Fidler, owner and operator of Sunny Mary Meadow Flower Farm in Minnesota. In just 5 years, I went from modest beginnings with $7,000 in sales to flourishing $200,000 operation, and I'm here to tell you it's absolutely possible. But remember, peddling perishable products requires careful planning and thoughtful intention. So let's roll up our sleeves and dive in. Ready to bloom and grow? Let's get started. So I knew that we would have a small group today, and that's okay. Honestly, with it being at noon, like I knew that there would be a less turnout, but this is when I wanted to do it. This is better. And then anyone who's taken Foundations of PPP gets the video recording of this anyway. But use the chat feature. Let me know if you guys have questions. I'm just going to kind of share my goal setting plans for entering into the new year, ways that I try to keep things a little bit organized. I got podcast producer Abby here with me. And yeah, I think it's going to be good. And then I'm going to share a little bit more about the Petals and Profits weekly challenges that I have set up. Honestly, it's a course, but really it's a way of holding myself and everyone else accountable. So I'm just going to show you what that ended up looking like. So first of all, let's go into the webinar. All right, I'm just going to keep it like this because that's easier for me. So you all know my credentials, my flower farm. I'm really excited for my 2025 goals. I'm actually working on my application with the county right now for my conditional use permit for the building that I'm building to turn my farm into. I will have a floral space, a workshop, a farm store, and an event space. The event space, technically, it's licensed for 160 people, which is actually really dumb because it's not 160 people, but they go by like so many square feet per person. And if you look at the plans, it's like, there's no way you could fit more than 80 people in there, but they call it 160. But yeah, so working through all of that, I think that this time next year is going to be super busy with porch pots and centerpieces and wreaths and all those things. And I'm just kind of like in this limbo mode this year, but it's all good. So we're going to talk about types of goals. We're going to talk about setting the actual goals, evaluating the goals, making sure that they're realistic, coming into the action planning, wrapping it up, and then questions at the end. Feel free to use the chat feature. And then also at the end, I'm going to go through the Petals and Profits course. The three types of goals that I want you all to be thinking about within your farm, and you, Abby, as podcast producer, and she and I have a big plan also, aside from everything else. And so personal, business, and relationships. So, personal goals. Maybe it's to improve your work-life balance or to learn a new floral skill. Maybe it's to get better at making a bridal bouquet. Maybe it's to get faster at making your market bouquets. Try to come up with something very, very specific when it comes to your goals there. My plan, my personal goal there is to really streamline my process when I meet with brides for wedding consultations. I've got a fairly good plan down now, but I meet with them, I do the intake, I send them their invoice due immediately, I send them the remaining balance on QuickBooks due 30 days prior to the wedding, I'm sending them the contract, but sometimes like I need an actual checklist for myself to make sure I don't forget something. I keep it all in a Google Drive. Like it's doing pretty good, but like things could slip through the crack. So Abby, why don't you say something?
You're doing great. I'm just like, I get to be like the live audience today.
No. We're recording some other things this afternoon. So she's here. I'm like, oh, come on the webinar with me.
Yeah. So personal goals on my end of things this year, I'm just going on 6 months of full-time self-employment, like as of December 1st. So like, we're still in the infancy stages of trying to figure out what it means to be self-employed and what does it mean to kind of balance work and life. So I've been really looking at 2025 and going, okay, am I going to go, for lack of a better term, balls to the walls, workaholic maniac, or am I going to take two steps back and go, do I want maybe a little bit more downtime because it's kind of in that stage of like, okay, I get to build this business how I want it. So that's kind of where I've been at with like personal goal setting for the year of how much me time do I want to schedule in for 2025?
Yeah, and I think that that is something that's really important too. Like, I would say this year was definitely a year where I took a bit of a step back. Like, I hired a lot more help. I had a lot of help here because last summer, 2023, was not super fun for me with my farm. That was my first like full-time summer after quitting my job, and I was exhausted. So then this year I was like, nope, I need more help. I need to build that foundation. It was just really a foundation year, 2024 was, and just redoing all of my systems, getting a process in place, just getting really organized with everything. That way I can continue to build and grow on that. Business goals. So maybe it's increase your flower subscriptions, expand wedding and event floral services, whatever that might be. What is your goal for the actual business? What do you want it to look like at the end of the year? I would love for my business to have more partnerships and collaborations with other businesses in the area. I did, you know, I'm still doing the nursing home sponsorships and I'm excited about them, but I've got some other ideas how to incorporate them a little bit more into my current expansion plans. So I know that when I have this event space, when, you know, people can rent it for a company picnic or a work, you know, just like a customer appreciation or whatever, I'm going to have some different add-on packages, and one of them will be nursing home bouquets. And then everyone can make one, and then they can either deliver them themselves or we'll take care of it. So I'm just trying to like make it easier and make it feel better about that philanthropy that people are doing, just kind of making it easier for my customers to be my customer, if
That
that
makes
makes
sense.
sense. How about you with your business goals?
So, business goals, I kind of have a set number in mind of what I want to generate every single month in 2025. And with that number in mind, I've kind of been working backwards from it. So, like, I have my number and I'm like, okay, so what is it going to take for what I'm making now to reach that number? So, it's going to be making sure I have a wedding DJ gig booked once a month. It's going to be making sure I have two photo booth gigs booked every single month, and then just kind of figuring out like, okay, here's the dollar amount I charge for these things. What do I need to do every month to make sure I hit that number that I want to hit? And is it actually sustainable is something that I've kind of been tossing around.
Yeah, and actually, just put a pin in that, and we're going to come back and talk about that in the pedals and profits because that's exactly it. When it comes to goal setting, I think that if we take a step back, the reason it's so important to talk about these things is because I think, you know, I talked about this in my last podcast episode, but if you haven't read it yet, please, please, please get your copy of The Gap in the Gain. I think any flower farmer, any business owner, anyone who's doing anything that doesn't necessarily have a clearly defined target, it's such an important book. And I haven't made you read that one yet.
That's on my list.
It's on the list,
I
because
have it on my Spotify.
I make her read a book every month for a book club. And that one's coming up like early, I think February, it's the book. But essentially, I mean, if I were to write down everything right now of where I'm at and where the business is at and where even the podcast is at and everything, compared to what I thought it was supposed to be at a year ago, I have blown every single goal out of the water. Like I had no idea that the weddings were going to expand into this. You know, my expenses are up just like everyone else, because everyone's expenses are up. My certain offerings of sales are down. Like, I'm not going to lie, my subscriptions are down. I had a lot of customers message me recently and they're like, hey, heads up, I got an 8-week subscription for next year and I'm sharing it with my sister. I'm like, oh, that's nice. Like, and I'm happy for them, but I truly think it's the economy. They're not getting rid of my flowers. They're still a subscription holder, but I get it. It's money is tight for everyone. And so it's like, that's not my fault. That's not, you know, but what can I offer differently, or what can I do differently, and how do I appeal to more people? And that's great. And how do I serve more people that way? And, you know, especially if, you know, for me, that's a better option than celebrating those victories. So like that's a good option because now if they're splitting a full subscription rather than I've decided to not offer half subscriptions or biweekly subscriptions because people are constantly asking me, can I switch? Can I switch a week? And then that just messes everything up. And I know that from a couple years ago. So that alone is a victory. And like, I didn't regress. I didn't go back on what I know works for my business. But the thing is, if you don't have your clearly defined goals, then it's so easy to say, well, I'm not where I should be. Well, what should be? Define that if you wrote them down. Again, if I had everything I'm doing right now written on paper, and a year ago I could glance at it and see where I'm at right now, I would have been blown away. I would have been so impressed with myself, even though right now, in this moment, on December 17th, 2024, I'm like, well, it should be more. It should be
It
more.
always is gonna be, you're always gonna say it should be more.
Yep, and that's why I think it's so important to write them down. And then relationship goals. And again, these are relationship goals related to your business, right? And you can have personal goals, you can have, whatever. But to me, my number one focus for relationships is trying to get to know a lot of wedding venues in the area. Because now that I am offering wedding flowers, what does that look like? So my goal there is to reach out to event planners, reach out to venues. There's actually seven of them. I can pull up my calendar right now. Here we go. One, two, three, four, five, six, seven. So yes, seven of them that I am going to tour that first week of January. I spent last week sending emails saying, hey, that first week of January, I know it's a month away, but I know everyone's going to get busy after the holidays, so I want to get on your calendar now. And I am touring all these venues within 30 minutes of my farm. I'm going to bring pamphlets. I'm going to bring stuff. I'm going to find out, hey, where do we drop stuff off? What rentals do you have? What shape is your table? And then, I have a Google Drive set up that all the venues, each place has its own folder. And I've got a layout if they've shared that with me. It's got its own document so that when I'm meeting with a bride, I can say, oh, yeah, you have round tables. So you don't want one tiny little bud vase in the middle of that table or it's going to look dumb or whatever. Just that credibility, confidence. Yeah. Wedding DJs, photo booth DJs.
Yeah, it's the goals that I have for the relationship side of things this year is I joined a networking group about a month and a half ago, and my goal for this year is to only miss three meetings, and those meetings I already know I'm going to be like out of the state that I'm going to miss those. But a lot of my wedding business is word of mouth. Like that is 99% of where it comes from. So I just want to make sure that I'm making as many connections as possible and just being available to people if they want to meet with me and even just chit chat. Like I want to be very accessible in 2025.
So when we talk about SMART goals, I know I shared this in this week's podcast, but specific, measurable, achievable, relevant, and time-bound. If I say, okay, I want to sell 500 bouquets by May 1st. That is a realistic goal for me. It sounds crazy, but based on the number of tulips that I have grown, based on my sales last year, I should be able to do it. Easter is late this year. I'm already looking at that calendar. Easter, I think, is, oh boy, it's 3 weeks
I want
before
to say
Mother's Day. It's
it's
late.
end of April.
Yeah, it's April 20th.
Yeah, because it's cutting into my prom
Yes.
DJing.
And so I know that I usually do really well with tulips there, but they're usually wholesale ones and the profitability is not that great. And sometimes it's hard on my actual business. So I buy them, they're wholesale grown by a grower in Minnesota, but they're single tulips. They're not as great. And it just doesn't make my subscriptions look as great. And so I'm really excited to be able to do my own this year based on the high tunnels. I'm purposely starting my 4 week tulip subscription the week after Easter. So if people want an extra one, they can buy it, have all of those ready to go, and then 2 weeks later for Mother's Day. So, is it actually achievable? Yes, it might be. Whereas a couple years ago to sell that many bouquets before May 1st, no way would that happen. And I'm counting all of the subscriptions in there because they are all completely paid for. So maybe they're not delivered until then. Maybe they're those first couple weeks of May, but the way I have run my business is the month that the sale happens is what I count it for. Just mentally when I know how much I need to do each month. So make sure that your goals, your values, and your goals align. So, if your goal is to, if you still haven't decided what your values are going to be this year,
We're working on it. I'm gonna have it nailed down by Christmas.
and again, that is so true. Like, hey, is this a building year, or is this a contentment year? Is this a no new things year? Is this a new ideas year? Is this to refine your ideas? Is this, make it a priority to make sure I get to church with my family, or make it a priority to make sure that I, make time for cross country skiing, which is my favorite thing. We have no snow, so it's not that big of a deal. But, do those values and those goals align together? It is important to evaluate and look at your setbacks. So, okay, yep, my subscriptions increased, or maybe they didn't, but why? So learn those patterns, and that will help you develop future goals. I have a hard time being honest with myself sometimes, these limitations where it's, is this realistic? Am I going to be able to do this? I have porch pot cl or I have centerpiece classes tonight at the brewery. I have another one on Thursday night. I've had so many people reach out over the last few weeks trying to book like private events, private groups. I had two last week for various nonprofits. I know that when I have my own space and I'm able to truly batch that work and, make all the containers, the vessels, the vases, recipe plan for all of those things at once, it is going to allow me to do multiple, centerpiece classes or whatever it might be. But I'm looking at, when I look at my goals, the realistic starting point of all of that, now that I have my, once this new building is up and it's down by my U-Pick section and I'm able to do this, I don't think I'm gonna have Monday night STEM bars of 20 people and Saturday morning U-Picks of 30 people. I might just have one U-Pick of 75 people and call it good. And if those expenses go down, if that, that, like, I just think that it's not realistic to think that everything will continue to rise. You have to look at, okay, well, if this gets better, then less people are going to do this. Or how is this? Or if I raise my prices, some people are going to quit buying or whatever, but that's okay because your profit margins might still be better. It's just on, like,
There's a give and take to
you're
everything.
only lying to yourself. This one's a little bit hard. The adaptation part of goal setting, I think this is something you have to be really careful of. Again, you're only lying to yourself, but are you giving yourself grace, or are you taking the easy way out? Are you letting yourself off the hook? I'm not saying that you shouldn't modify it, you shouldn't pivot, but I think it's okay to have an A goal, a B goal, a C goal, but to completely throw your goal out the window because it's not working. Yes, like, don't keep doing something that's not working. I mean, for example, I'm sad about it, but it is what it is. My assistant is done this week, so I hired an assistant in July. And she was working as a W-2 employee, and it was really good. I got everything organized in my business, but it started getting to a point where what she's needing hourly to be paid and the realistic hours that I actually need help were just starting to not align. And even though my business has the budget to afford her, is there a return there, or is it, am I pivoting my business around the person, or am I doing what my business actually needs? And luckily, like, we had such a respectful conversation. It was literally a 7-week notice to try to figure out, how that's going to look. And she's going to still stay on a little bit as like 1099 stuff, but just that realistic, yeah, just because my budget can afford to pay this person, X amount of hours that they need, doesn't mean that that's what the business needs, if that makes sense. So it's sometimes that can be really hard to sit there and say, hey, you know what, this isn't what's best. We're going to do a quick break from this episode, and I want to give a shout out to my employee of the month, QuickBooks. I know it can be so overwhelming to get started, but honestly, the sooner you create your own system for your bookwork, the sooner you will get your time back.
I used to spend 10 to 20 hours every quarter because in Minnesota, it depends on what your sales volume is. And I fall in the category of quarterly sales tax. So it never failed. Every 3 months, I would go down this rabbit hole of trying to gather everything from my website, the different point of sale that I do in person, people would pay checks, and just trying to reconcile it all. So now every month, I spend 1 hour reconciling my bank account with those systems that automatically feed in. And then when it's time to submit my sales tax, it takes me about 5 minutes, saving me literally dozens of hours every month. So yes, you pay a monthly fee for QuickBooks, but trust me, even if I only value my time at 10 bucks an hour, it is still way worth it. Head to the episode notes and click on the link there, and you will get 30% off for 6 months with my exclusive code. Be sure to use the code rather than just going to the regular website, because this is going to give you that 30% off for 6 months. I cannot recommend QuickBooks enough. Let's get back to the episode.
I'm going to show you guys what the Petals and Profits challenge actually looks like. Again, you don't have to do it this way necessarily, but it's just something that I thought would be really good for holding myself and others accountable. So the Petals and Profits challenges. So it's 52 challenges. And now I have logged in to the course as a user, so not as a coach or whatever, just to show you guys what some of them look like. I'll put these back in draft mode when I'm done with this, because obviously they shouldn't be released until then. But every Sunday night, a new goal is going to come out, and then you'll have that whole week to do it. And then when you're done, you post in the Facebook group that you did it. So the first thing is, you know, your 2025 goals. So every single one of these has a little PDF to download. So write down your three big goals for your flower business, one small step, because again, the goal is the big picture, but what are you going to do to achieve that? So if my goal is more weddings or book more weddings. Okay, well, what is the small step? Okay, I'm going to reach out to wedding venues. Not necessarily marketing to brides, market to those people that are already having that high touch with those brides. Or again, my subscriptions, you know, trying to modify that. Yep, reach out to the email list. Reach out specifically to my customers last year, which sometimes can be hard. I mean, I sent an email to all of my subscription holders last year saying, hey, heads up, if you haven't bought yet, you know, and a lot of them are like, hey, you know, budget is tight this year with Christmas. It's not that I didn't like it. I will be coming back. Or they've said, you know, oh, I just haven't gotten around to doing it yet. Thanks for the reminder. Sometimes that can be hard to do because it's a little bit scary what someone says back to you. Like, what if all of a sudden they said, I hated it. I'm never going to do that again.
Anyway, I hate flowers.
Okay. I hate flowers. So then when you're done with that challenge for the week, and I think this PDF is showing up. Actually, that might not be because it's not green. So this is what they look like, that individual goal. And then you'll do in the Facebook group under the word goals, you post a photo of the vision board. And then when that week's done, you mark it as complete. There's different ones every time. Some of them are social media related. So, okay, at the end of the week after Valentine's Day, plan your Valentine's Day post and what you're offering for next year. So now you have all these ideas. You've been following all these other flower farmers, all these other people on social media. You know what they did, what seemed to work well for them. Make your plan right now instead of starting to brainstorm or whatever it might be. And maybe it's you're offering your subscriptions. Maybe you don't do any wholesale flowers, and that's just fine. But then, you know, you'll go into that one, go into the challenge, and then you share your Valentine's idea. And then share that with the group. There are other challenges on there, such as like the monthly budget template. So this is something that I talk about in the Foundations of PPP class. You know, we go through and we figure out how much money you need to make from your business. You figure out what your fixed expenses are every single year, annually, what your supplies, your seeds, everything. You figure out that dollar amount. You figure out your monthly expenses for your business. Some people, it will be a lot higher than others. I guarantee mine are probably a lot higher than others because I have invested a lot in scheduling tools and software and things that make my life easier so that I don't have to manage a lot of people. That just seems to work better for me. I have Google Suite. I have a Zoom subscription so that when a bride schedules on Calendly, it automatically sends a Zoom link to that bride for me, and then it automatically talks to my Google Calendar and puts the link to that Zoom meeting on my Google Calendar, all without me doing anything. Like, I just send the link to the bride, and then now I'm actually automating it within my MailChimp. I'm upgrading that plan so that when a bride fills out the form on my website, she gets the PDF. If she likes what she sees, she automatically does it. That all just happens without me having to do anything. And so, but again, I probably pay $200-$300 a month for all of that stuff, because MailChimp, the upgraded plan, is $60 a month. My Calendly, I think, is maybe $160 a year or something like that.
Zoom is like 25-ish
a month.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so that's $300 a year. So it's just, again, all of that stuff starts adding up, but creating that monthly budget. And so that way you can just kind of keep track of what your expenses are. And this is just an easy like reminder. Okay, go into Excel or however it is you do it, you know, make it a habit to update it. You can share your blank template. Don't tell us everything. I mean, unless you want to, unless you're me. And I don't know. What are you going to do with that info?
You're looking for feedback.
Tell everyone I'm not making any money. It's fine. No, I am. But so anyway, that is my goal for the Petals and Profits challenge. I think it'll be really helpful. There's just, like I said, there's a few modules that I had already released just to show you guys. I'll put them back in draft mode because there's no working ahead. We're all working on the same thing within the same Facebook group. But yeah, I think it's going to be exciting. When I first started with my flower farm, I think that, you know, I had my big list of things I wanted to invest in, the high tunnel, the, you know, just shelving within my cooler, like all of those things, more scissors, better shovels, tiller for my tractor, whatever it might be. As you start to expand and grow those more expensive flowers. But the first couple years, I mean, it seemed like I just started a bunch of seeds and I didn't really keep track of any of my time, which is okay. Like, it's okay that you're not doing that right away. It's okay that you're not paying yourself hourly what you should. It's okay that if you're like, well, no, I made $3,000 a month. Okay, well, you worked 70 hours a week. But that's okay, because you can start refining it, and you can start, you know, sometimes it's okay if you're just bringing in the revenue and your time is your labor, and you'll tweak it. You'll do it, either that or it'll get burned out and quit. Like, you'll figure it out. But like,
everything evolves.
But I think that, you know, the cost of seeds, I would look at that, and whether I sold enough bouquets for 10 a week or 100 a week. And that seems like a lot, but when they're cut and come again flowers, and when they're the zinnias or they're the basil or cosmos, and I'm using the greenery and I'm taking stuff from my landscaping, whatever, it wasn't as heavy or pressure compared to now, when it's okay, how many stock plants do I think I can buy? Because I'm ordering those right now to put in my high tunnel to plant them in March and do a bunch of frost cloth and hope for the best. Because I have $40,000 worth of weddings booked in the month of June. That's a lot of flowers. I have anywhere from 1 to 4 weddings every weekend. Some of them are more like romantic blush. A lot of them are bright colored. Like, I know that I'm going to need that stock. I know that it's, you know, keeps in the cooler, and I want to grow it myself. But again, like, that is a flower that I'm buying plugs. I'm not going to start it in seed trays. I don't have the time or resources to do that while also babying my high tunnel of ranunculus and tulips and whatever. So for me, it doesn't make sense to do the seed trays or to start them from seed. And so I'm just going to get the plugs and plant them. But I have to crop plan and grow the right amount based on what I think I'm going to need, and stagger them a little bit and plant, you know, different amounts every couple weeks because of that goal that I know that I have, that they're already pre-sold.
Yeah, it's all about setting the goal and working backwards. That's really how I have my vision, and then I'm a sucker for a post-it note, the big wide ones. You got your mini ones out here.
You like wide post-it notes.
I like big wide post-it notes. Like, I actually just found my goals from a year ago on a post-it note when I was cleaning my office yesterday. And I'm like, I hit my goals. Oh my gosh, look at me go.
I like little post-it notes. Abby's laughing at my mini post-it
No,
notes.
I like big, I like wide, I like them lined.
So I actually, this is pink is for the podcast and coaching. Orange is going to be for weddings. Yellow is for planting, ordering, batch planting. Blue is for the bloom room. So that's everything with my event space, classes, bookings, meetings, county, $60,000 septic systems. Sorry. A little angry about that. Green is the farm. So subscriptions, stem bars, those events.
There's more.
There's more. And then I'm planning on putting one color sticky note on there. So, like, my social post about the certain color. Anyway, this is my way of trying to get a little bit more organized this year.
We all have them,
But.
and it's sometimes it just takes buying the right sticky notes to change your life.
So, Abby and I have found that the majority of people that join these webinars are not like us, and that's okay. We are so extroverted that we're like, why isn't anyone talking? Why isn't anyone turning on their camera? And I get it that it's. But if any of you are brave enough, put something in the chat and tell us what some of your goals are.
I actually have one of my goals met for 2025 already. I just realized my goal is to book 10 weddings, and I have 10 weddings booked.
There you go.
Yeah. Plus with the potential for a few more. So I'm already ahead of the curve this year, this coming
Nice.
year.
Oh, my goal is also book more weddings. There you go. Good job, Megan.
Yay! You got this.
I think that, okay, so let's talk about that. Goal to book more weddings. So the baby steps of that, working backwards, first you have to reach out to the brides, let people know that you're available to do weddings, show your sample work. One thing that I found breaking into the wedding industry, which is mostly fun, but I don't know that I quite have the personality and patience for like really doing it, which is why I don't want a wedding venue, right? Like I just nope, because I kind of have this like calm down
The wedding
vibe,
industry is a beast.
and you can't tell a bride to calm down,
No.
definitely not. And so and the bride deserves perfection and all these things, but I have found that really connecting with those venues, whatever, or event planners, I think that flowers are something that if their sister, if their friend, if their cousin, if they were a bridesmaid in a wedding, if they had a really good experience with their wedding flowers, that word of mouth is going to be incredibly strong versus a lot of the venues. If someone's sister got married there, that is the last place someone else wants to get married because they don't want their wedding to be compared to their sister's wedding. So actually, repeat business is not good sometimes in the wedding industry because it's the same. It's the same meal. We want a different caterer. Not that we didn't like it, but
Yeah.
I don't want my wedding compared to my sister's
Yeah.
wedding. Whereas from what I'm gathering, at least, flowers are something that can be so customized to everyone that if they have a good experience, they'll come back again. So that warm referral actually is very, very helpful. And I think that that's a good.
Yeah. Definitely, if you're looking to book more weddings, I would say start requesting to join wedding groups on Facebook in your local area. So whether it's like a state or a regional like wedding group, because people are asking for referrals in there all the time. So definitely get involved in those Facebook groups.
And I made, multitasking as we seek, updating my wedding page, got five planners to add me to their preferred vendor list. Yes, exactly. And that preferred vendor list is huge. What I'm finding with flowers as well is that it's kind of the last thing and it's one of the first things to go in people's budget, unfortunately, because they're not going to cut their guest list from, well, some will. I'm actually, a lot of people are doing smaller, like my most expensive wedding that I'm doing next summer is. I think it's $6,500 and she only has 75 guests. Do you have a course on the nursing home share subscriptions? I don't have a course on that specifically. It's within a module of foundations of petaling perishable products. So it's within that. I thought about breaking it down a lot more a la carte, but now that I have the monthly payment plan for foundations of PPP and that it, continues the ongoing coaching. Literally one nursing home sponsorship because I charge $1,000 for those, we'll pay for the entire PPP course. So that is why I haven't broke that up. But again, I think it's something that, where was I at with the vendor list? Sorry, I got distracted. ADHD. So okay, going back. So I'm hobby stage, but looking to learn more. Should seriously talk to some local colleges. I need a degree with benefit. Oh yeah. Oh, thank you.
Thanks. I actually have a lot of college debt to prove
Yeah.
I'm a great speaker.
Yes.
I went to radio school.
Yeah, she went to radio school. She's a little bit better at it than I am. So I actually on Monday, if you guys listen to my podcast episode from this week, I spoke at the Minnesota State FFA Leadership Conference to like 700 high school kids, and it's fun, and it really is. I've enjoyed sharing my failures, sharing my truly, like I just don't want anyone to mess up like I did. I don't know. And my sisters are like, you were born to do this. You were born to have a podcast about flower farming. Because again, as a nurse practitioner, not even born, partially trained, as a nurse practitioner, you know, I'm teaching people about their health. I'm encouraging them to empower it themselves. But I'm also the second oldest of six kids. So I've been bossing my siblings around my entire life. So, okay, Ricky, yes. So Ricky has a awesome greenhouse business and she's turning it into more of the flowerscape. So an addition of 105 by 120 retail space with two greenhouse bays. Help us from your own operations, spring heavy. It would also open more flower sales. Oh, I'm so proud of you. So I
That's
think
amazing.
that, yeah, Ricky, I've been following all of your, like I follow all your stuff all the time. Like it's so inspiring to me to see like how quickly, you know, the how it's such a natural fit, everything you guys have been doing from just the greenhouses. So Ricky took my PPP course and then peddling perishable products, and then Ricky came down for Farmer Florist Boot Camp. But I think that expanding from seasonal to year-round, like I did with my business. So like I sell subscriptions in the off season, I sell nursing home sponsorships in the off season. I'm planning ahead begin to bloom course that I'm doing, those cut flower kits that I'm selling within that course. It's all pre-selling in the off season. So yes, a lot of the work is still going to take place when I have my flowers blooming, but it's like the marketing, the hustle, the networking, it can burn you out so quickly if you're trying to do it all at once. And so I think that that's probably one of the biggest benefits of like just getting yourself in the mindset that like, no, you don't get to take 3 months off if this is your full-time job. Like, and maybe you can, but
If you can, bless
if
you.
you can, bless you, but I haven't found a way to do it. Yeah, so Ricky, I'm really excited to see. I find out actually the end of this week, I applied for an NRCS grant for a high tunnel, the EQIP grant, and I will get my ranking at the end of the week. But I am a woman. I am a young farmer because I actually did not have a Schedule F in my name until we moved here in 2017, I think was our first year. So I'm a young beginning farmer. I like to stress that I'm young because I think it's 10 years that you're considered a young farmer with the FSA. And then it goes a lot based on your soil type. If you can prove that you're in an area that has high erosion, and Sartell, Minnesota is super sandy. So my soil is quite sandy. So my buddy Logan, that's real sick of me, we've been chatting. So I had to pick out the kind of high tunnel that I want. And it's going to be one like with the heater, the double poly, the roll-up sides. My poor husband's gonna have to build that one, but it's gonna be a if we end up doing it, it'll be 34 by 96, I think. And that's going to really just help with a lot of those spring plants. So, yeah, I'm
And
excited.
we promise we won't make Brent read the manual for doing that on the podcast again. We
Yeah.
learned our lesson.
Yeah. So my two best and worst, like literally like episodes, we turned the high tunnel into two parts because it was literally, and Brent was telling how he built our high tunnels.
Reading the
That
manual.
first episode, I think a lot of people listened because they thought it was going to be exciting because Brent was coming on the podcast, and then nobody listened to part two. Like it's like thousands difference because people are like, I can't listen to that because he sat there and read the manual. So, I mean, this gives him anxiety so bad. Like even watching our daughter read in church, he's like, how does she do that? Like I want to
Even
throw
watching
up.
you speak last week, he
Yes.
was a nervous
Yes,
wreck.
watching me speak to 700 people at the FFA conference
I
was,
think I was watching him react to you more
yeah,
than I thought.
he was just like, oh. Anyway, but oh,
Oh.
Irene, yes, I am. Yeah, see, she says I'm young. Anyway, but thank you guys so much for coming. I really do love doing these things, and I honestly, even if there's five or six people that come on here, like it's so worth it to me. And then all of these get uploaded, the video, the presentation gets uploaded to the Foundations of PPP module. One thing that I will say, and I understand that investing in this course is big, right? It's a big investment in yourself. I've priced it at $1,000 because I want to be able to still have that touch that people have. But as of right now, I'm thinking about April 1st. We'll be closing the lifetime access to it. Everyone who has purchased up until this point and up until that point, and we'll let people know when the deadline is, but everyone before that will be grandfathered in. But then after that, it'll be like a one-time fee to be in it, and then like maybe a monthly membership. Because again, I have a lot of plans for going forward. And if you've taken Foundations of PPP, I think you got like 40% off Flower Farmer Forum Conference, the Petals and Profits Challenge. If you pay in full at once, you get it for 80 cents a week compared to, I want to do a dollar a week instead of pay in full. But the credit card transaction fee was so high that it was like, I'm like, wait a minute, it's 40 cents plus this percentage. I'm like, I can't do that. It's going to cost me money to bill it weekly. So I had to do it at $50 for the year or whatever. But anyway,
There's a lot of benefits to being part of the club, basically.
So I recently went on the website and I kind of changed some things around to like divide things into levels. I have my fourth meeting tomorrow now with a
Consultant.
consultant. It's a company called Flow Devs, where they like just completely behind the scenes work on your flow of anything. They'll research a software, whether it's Calendly or whatever. So I'm paying them to like work on my MailChimp and get that ready to go. So all of those automations, grouping, journeys when someone downloads something or fills out a form, because I've been using Google Forms. I don't want to change my website to be MailChimp Forms. And yeah, just really, and then I can integrate my Calendly with that. But anyway, so I'm going to actually take everything that I've learned from him, summarize it down in ways that it can apply to flower farmers. So I'm excited for that. And that's going to be, I'm just going to give that to PPP people because I'm nice and then put that on a course also. I don't know. I don't know. I'm not very good at selling my courses, but join if you want. There's my pitch.
Come hang
So
out, we're cool.
come hang out. We're cool. We are working on something pretty big, but we're not going to talk about it. I tried to get Abby to talk about it, and she's like, not going to talk about it yet. So stay tuned. Something else that's coming out in February, not related to flower farming. But anyway, thank you guys so much.
Thanks for tuning in to another episode of the Flower Farmer Forum. If you enjoyed today's show and want to dive deeper into the world of growing and selling cut flowers, be sure to check out our website. There you'll find every episode in written blog form, plus courses and one-to-one coaching options to help you on your flower farming journey. Don't forget to follow us on Instagram at Flower Farmer Forum and join our Facebook page to connect with other passionate listeners and flower enthusiasts. If you're local and want to see what we're up to, visit us at sunnymarymeadow.com or find us on Instagram and Facebook at Sunny Mary Meadow for my flower farm. We'd love your support. Please leave us a 5-star review and share this episode with a friend who might find it fantastic. Until next time, keep growing, keep blooming, and keep making your flower farm dreams a reality.
Flowers, flowers, we love flowers. Sunny Mary Meadow, they smell so good. SunnyMaryMeadow.com.